We thank the participation of Dr. Morales. The next participant is Dr. Alejandra García Franco, a professor of chemistry at the University in Autonomous Metropolitan University. She is a chemical engineer with a doctor, with a PhD in pedagogy. She has worked with professors from secondary schools in Chiapas for over 10 years, generating options to incorporate knowledge, local knowledge, to learning. The title of her conference is The Nixtamalization of Maize and Chemistry. Let us listen to Dr. García. Good morning. I would like to thank deeply the invitation to be here to share some of the work that I have done and that I think could be a small sample or a form of thinking on how we stand before the wall, before this wall that, as was said yesterday, was built also by science. Sciences are not facing the wall, they are part of the wall, some of them at least, some of the forms of doing science. I want to say that I come from Mexico City. I work teaching at the biological engineering bachelor's, and this has allowed me to approach chemistry, but also the processes of transformation of the biological components and, to a certain degree, biotechnology. So I like chemistry a great deal, and I will begin by telling why I became interested in chemistry as a way of trying to understand how matter is transformed. What happens when you have a fire and you have your wood, and we use a bit of ocote to light it up and matches, and it is transformed into heat. But it's also transformed in other things, because after all, because in the end we don't have wood, we have coal. And so this trying to question permanently with this spirit of knowing the world in which we live, to be able to transform it and approach it more to the world we want to live. I will speak a bit about what chemistry studies, so that we can then talk about how chemistry can also be a part of this dialogue of knowledge of which Dr. Morales spoke in the previous intervention. Chemistry studies two main things. One of them is the composition of things. What are things made of? And here I have two very simple examples. I take two plants that most of you probably know, the ajenjo, which is used to eliminate parasites in your belly, and diente de león, which is used to regulate pressure, arterial pressure. There is a great knowledge in the use of medicinal plants, but we use ajenjo to eliminate parasites because of its composition, because of what it has inside, which we cannot see, but that we know that by cooking it and drinking the tea, it will help us to eliminate some of the gastrointestinal problems. Each of these many medicinal plants has a different function, and this function is related to what it's made of. On the other hand, we have the transformation of matter. This matter is transformed. So from wood, I have cooked food. and I have cinders, and I have smoke, and I have water. How does all of this happen? How does understanding these phenomena can help us to better understand the world in which we live? I'm going to briefly talk about it has been we have talked a lot about science as a cultural, sociocultural product, and it has a very particular language. Cellulose in wood reacts with oxygen, which is in the air, and produces carbon dioxide and water. And this is one way of explaining what happens when I light the fire. Another way is with these symbols. So I have a way of saying cellulose. The plus sign in chemistry doesn't mean plus, it means reacts with oxygen, and it produces carbon dioxide and water. And all of this, a fundamental principle, says matter is not created or destroyed, it is only transformed. And to understand this principle is very important. Dr. Morales spoke about the cycles of nitrogen, how beans, based on these bacteria in their roots, produces urea, and this urea has or acts in certain ways to fertilize plants. So understanding all of these phenomena can help us to constitute the space of dialogue whereby knowledge held by people and communities can allow them to establish themselves in the space of dialogue as equals. Freire used to say dialogue always implies equality. To recognize the people who live in the communities as subjects of knowledge and not as objects of knowledge, which is how oftentimes science has behaved. Western science, universalist science, scientificist science, which has of course gone to the communities and taken the knowledge, and then it does a lot of things with it without anybody knowing about it. So how can we think of different spaces? And I'm going to I wanted to speak about the process of domestication of maize as one of the most relevant contributions of Mesoamerican cultures since the last 9,000 years of this hard grass. This immense diversity of maize that we have today, much of which is under risk because of the processes of industrial production. But in addition to speaking of domestication of maize and the milpa system, which was already done by Dr. Morales and in a much better way than I could do it, I want to speak about what happens to maize afterwards. What happens when you gather the maize and you prepare tortillas? Because tortillas are a fundamental element in the creation of civilizations in this part of the world. Not only was it a matter of domesticating maize, it was a matter of transforming maize and to transform it after collecting it. So we're talking here about the existence of something that we could call a Mesoamerican biotechnology. If we take this definition where we use biological systems to create and modify products for uses that we want. This is a small illustration of a codicil where a mother is teaching her 13-year-old daughter how to make tortillas. So the process of nixtamalization interests me a lot because it is a work that is mainly female. The process of transformation is in the kitchen, in the fire, in the mill. So it is a knowledge of women. And it has been very little studied. I suppose it has to do with everything that was that the doctor was discussing at the beginning. Much more about the diversity of maíz rather than the next part, which is nixtamalization, and which is an equally important process. We think that nixtamalization arose 1500 years ago. Nixtamalization, and the word nixtamal comes from Nahuatl, which is nixtli, which is the cinders of cal, and the process of using cal to use to create the tortillas. And so it became not a complementary foodstuff, but a basic foodstuff, a fundamental component of the food intake of Mesoamerican cultures. And why? What I want to do is to explain very briefly in how those nixtamalization function. So we can think, what can we know? What kind of dialogue can we establish between this process of transformation understood from chemistry with people that have this knowledge and have perfected it for thousands of years? For those who do not know, I know that for many this is already a known process. Nixtamalization takes place from maíz you take the corn and you put it in water with limestone rock. And sometimes for 13 hours they're washed a number of times, two or three times, and then the lime water is eliminated, and also the skin of the corn. And then you mill it, and you create the dough that then you make into tortillas, but also tamales, atol, tesuino, pozol, many other foodstuffs that are part of the life of communities. I will, here we have lime. This is limestones. Their chemical name is calcium oxide, and that's the formula, CaO. And then this lime with water becomes calcium hydroxide. And this process of putting lime in water makes me have calcium ions. And calcium ions are important because calcium is the most important element of bones. So the process of nixtamalization gives corn, it adds nutrients to the corn. Of course, it all depends on how that corn is, because we know that there are different types of maíz. And many of you know how long you have to put red maíz and black maíz and white and so on. How long should they be in the lime water? How many times it should be washed? Because that depends on what is inside each maíz grain. So this knowledge regarding what the maíz is made of is what allows us to make decisions that will allow us to make pozol or tortilla or corn chip with a better quality. If we think that to feed ourselves we need a diversity of nutrients, and one of those, the most important nutrients, are proteins. Proteins are something like the construction blocks of our body. Maíz has only 10% of protein. It's a cereal. It is not its most, proteins are not its most important function. But this protein that is there is practically not digestible by the body. It's not bioavailable. We eat it, but we don't use it. But the process of nixtamalization, and here we have a drawing of the maize grain, where you see that there is this skin, whose name in biology is the pericarpium, that is broken when you add lime to water. And it breaks because water changes its condition, and it has now a condition that is called alkaline. I don't know if you've been burnt with lime. Lime burns if it touches your skin, so it's very important to know how to take care of ourselves. So I break that skin, and what does it do? It takes out the protein from the maize, and then it turns them into bioavailable. And this difference, this small change, which is actually a huge change, helps make all the proteins in the maize to be bioavailable. And Mesoamerican cultures, differently from other cultures where maize was born, without nixtamalization, for example in Italy, where polenta was used without nixtamalization, they had problems with an illness called pellagra, which is this illness of the skin. This illness does not exist here because sufficient vitamins are ingested through maize. So in addition to making these vitamins available, it also makes calcium available. And calcium is fundamental. I read in a study that nixtamalized products provide 60% of the calcium that we consume. So this is very important, because yesterday, as I was registering here, someone in the registration table read this news that 40% of maize consumption has diminished by 40% in Mexico. And why is this happening? I think this is something that we should really dialogue and think about, how the entire cultural system has put tortilla in a place that is very different that to where it should be, as the center of food intake in communities and peoples. So when they tell us that we should drink milk to have strong bones and teeth, that's not necessarily true. Tortillas, nixtamalized tortillas through traditional processes, has larger amounts of calcium available. But of course, this is not good for transnational companies or Maseca. This is not good for them, because this knowledge of nixtamalization has been used. And if you see the Maseca sacks, it says nixtamalized flour. Yet the process is very different, and so Maseca tortillas don't taste like tortillas, nor does it give us all the nutrients that we need. So here, what is very important is to think how to understand the principles that are behind all of these processes of production, and how this can help us to understand the transformation and to use this knowledge to open up these spaces, these gaps in this wall. If you want to go deeper into this subject, there are many other biotechnologies, for example, fermentation, the use of papaya to soften meat. Papaya seeds are used and have been used for a long time to soften meat, to obtain pigments, to drying tobacco leaves, obtaining polymers, These are all contributions in Mesoamerica that have been relegated to second place, because if we like the history of chemistry, I thought I was going to talk about that, but I decided not to. Chemistry, when we look in official history, we think of alchemy and Europeans and how they were thinking of transforming gold. And here, what we're doing, we're transmuting, transforming corn grains into something that became the main source of our foodstuff and our life. So I end here vindicating this role on how to think of our spaces as spaces of knowledge, to think of our kitchens as labs. In the convocation of last year, it said, we don't want to go to the labs in the city, we want to build them here. And I think they already exist here. Dr. Morales already said that. The parcels of research, but also the kitchens, as these spaces of knowledge that also allow to value all of these female knowledges, to vindicate the role of women as producers of knowledge. And of course, local knowledge and traditional knowledge, which has allowed these technologies to develop, but incorporating this other perspective, this perspective of transformation, to look at these phenomena and to answer these questions that interest us. And I end by saying, well, there's always more questions when you start reading and researching. The only thing you end up with is more questions. What questions interest us where chemistry could help to establish a dialogue? You might have seen these wood stoves everywhere. Wood stoves that are replacing traditional stoves, which have certain advantages in terms of smoke. Well, should we or should we not use them? Why? When? What for? And I discuss this example because it is very clear. Do we use them or not? Why? What happens when we use them? Water pollution, what do we do with it? How can this chemical understanding help us to understand these questions and to increase our curiosity and open this small space in the wall, this crack in the wall, by establishing a dialogue among different knowledges? Thank you.